are
Holoball,
listening to WIDR 89.1
Kalamazoo.
Que é feliz sem saber, pois não sofreu. Porém, se a gente vive a sonhar,
se a gente vive a sonhar,
com alguém que se deseja rever, saudade então se aí é ruim, eu tiro isso por mim, que vivo doido a sofrer. Ai, quem me dera voltar nos braços do meu xodó. Saudade assim faz doer, amarga que nem giló. Mas ninguém pode dizer que me viu triste a chorar. Saudade, meu remédio é cantar.
Saudade, meu remédio é
que a gente um dia perdeu. Saudade até que assim é bom, do cabra se convencer que é feliz sem saber, pois não sofreu. Porém, se a gente vive a sonhar,
se a gente vive a sonhar,
com alguém que se deseja rever, saudade então se aí é ruim, eu tiro isso por mim, que vivo doido a sofrer. Ai, quem me dera voltar nos braços do meu xodó. Saudade assim vai ruer, amarga que nem giló. Mas ninguém pode dizer que me viu triste a chorar. Saudade, o meu remédio é cantar.
Saudade, o meu remédio é cantar.
Nothing could get me down. Now she's gone away. can't see the light of the sun. I keep moaning and moaning. 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 Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Cause my heart is filled with pain. All I know is shame. My heart is filled with pain. All I have is this sad song.
We'll be right back. stars, the minotaur.
Spring break. Hey, it's Tuesday night. It's 7-ish and New Audio Beach is on air. I'm one of your hosts, Jacob, and joining in the studio this evening is also Zach and Ben, as every
Hello.
Week.
Hello.
And if you're just joining us, the Audio Bijou is a show about what's going on in the movies. We play movie music from the soundtracks, and we bring you all the latest news from Hollywood. And the reviews are involved, and sometimes there's trivia. Sometimes we answer that trivia correctly. Probably not all the time, but...
What? Well, when have I ever...
He's not including you.
You know the answer. That's.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that maybe I was feeding misinformation to our audience.
No, I'm saying that Ben and I... exactly.
Sometimes we lie to you, listening audience.
This is the source. This is the...
The trivia is always good. We're just not always good at the trivia. That's what
okay.
I'm saying.
I got you.
And,
well, we'll see how you do tonight. I've got a good one for you.
And, of course, every Tuesday night, the box office returns come in from Hollywood Bean Counters, and we bring them to you. In their finalities. And this week is another big slam dunk for Will Ferrell. Semi-Pro brings in the number one slot at $15 million. I don't know what else to say about it. He did okay.
Expected. Pretty decent for an R-rated movie.
Yeah, it's actually really good for R-rated comedy. But we'll find some PG-13 movie that's down the list, and try to figure out the real numbers.
Okay.
Vantage Point, which is number one last week, drops to number two with $12 million.
It's still a pretty good take for that.
It's staying strong in second week. Spiderwick Chronicles, number three with $8 million. The Other Boleyn Girl debuts in number four slot with $8 million.
I guess the SNL parody wasn't enough to bump it up a little bit more.
I don't know, though. Look at the theater count on that one. That's barely over 1,000. Theaters total, so that's a pretty good take.
Yeah, I mean, they did well for the few theaters they're in, but man, did that movie look like a downer or what?
I know that it looked like a bunch of American actors playing British roles.
Yeah, and it also looked like Eric Bana. What's he doing in that? anyway, Jumper rounds out the top five with $7 million. The remaining top 10 are Step Up 2, The Streets, Fool's Gold, No Country for Old Men.
Bumping up four spots there.
Up into the top 10 from number 12, no doubt bolstered by its award wins. Penelope debuted in the number 9 slot with $3 million.
What do you know? Maybe pushing back a movie a year and a half isn't really the best strategy.
At the same time, once again, it's only on a little over 1,000 theaters. So.
Yeah, but I think they're going for a slow burn on that one.
Yeah, like slow over the course of a year and a half while they try and build some marketing buzz.
Probably.
I swear I saw the first trailer for that forever ago. I fell off my dinosaur when I saw it. That's how long ago it was.
Good one, say.
Yeah. So I'd take it back to the playground.
Definitely maybe rounds out our top 10 of $3 million.
Okay, well, if you're wondering why we're playing Lord of the Rings music, I have an explanation. Semi-Pro marks a landmark, not for being number one on the box office, but for being the very last on another list. The list of releases from New Line Cinema under the studio head Robert Shea. This past weekend, New Line Cinema, one of the original powerhouse indies, was officially folded in to its parent company, Time Warner, meaning that hundreds of their employees lost their job, including their studio chief, Robert Shea. If it were any other studio chief, it would be no big deal. Those people lose their jobs left and right in Hollywood. But this guy's been with the company since its inception. Over 40 years, he's the longest running studio head, not only now, but for all time. He's the longest one in history. He lost his job this weekend, in part because New Line Cinema, they've had highs and lows over the years because they bet big. Sometimes they win big, like with Lord of the Rings.
Or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
And sometimes they lose big with stuff like Little Nicky. The final nail in her coffin was one last big bet, which was the Golden Compass. They sold off all the international rights. It ended up making $70 million domestically, while their international distributors took in a rollicking $260 million. So,
ouchie.
Yeah, kind of a big loss for them and the last nail in the coffin for Robert Shea after a number of arguments, high-profile disputes with filmmakers, and great highs, great lows. We're going to listen to them tonight. So in honor of Robert Shea, the best and worst of New Line tonight, starting us off, we're going to listen to Annie Lennox from Return of the King.
and weary head. Night is falling. You've come to Jenny's end. Sleep now. Dream of the ones who came before. They are calling from across the distant shore. Why do you weep? What are these tears upon your face? Soon you will see all of your fears will pass away, safe in my arms. You're only sleeping.
Okay, we're back, and now it's time for tonight's screen test trivia question. New Line Cinema, who we're paying tribute tonight because of the ending of their studio head, Bob Shea, who ran the company for over 40 years, is often referred to as the house that Freddie built, noting that although the studio has released such high-minded and award-winning fare as Glengarry Glen Ross, The Player, Seven, Boogie Nights, Little Children, and several others, it first became successful through A Nightmare on Elm Street and its seemingly unending sequels. This was far from the independent studio's first foray into the low-budget horror genre. Which of the following Caro syrup-soaked slashers was also a New Line release? Was it Evil Dead, Fright Night, Creepshow, or Reanimator? Yes, ponder that, and we'll be back with the answer before the end of the show. Now more from the history of New Line. They've released several successful series over the years, not only Lord of the Rings, but also our next selection, which is Austin Powers. And the song is called Soul Bossa Nova, and actually originates many years before the franchise started. It's an old Quincy Jones song, but has become indelibly connected to the International Man of Mystery. Okay, we're back with our look at what's new to theaters this upcoming Friday. If you're looking to hit the movies this upcoming weekend, here's what you can expect to find in wide release. Starting us off is 10,000 Years B.C. From Roland Emmerich, the stunning auteur who created such timeless classics as Independence Day, Godzilla, and The Day After Tomorrow, comes 10,000 Years B.C., which despite the title similarities is not the 900,000 years in the making sequel to 1 million years B.C., instead of Raquel Welch in History's First Bikini, we get Delilah, the mammoth hunter on his quest to rescue his love from the army of a lost civilization. Of course, bad acting from unknown actors, big overblown effect shots, and cheesy C-grade Spielberg aspirations ensue. 10,000 Years B.C. is rated
PG-13. You know, the guy
I guess 10,000 B.C. I just can't get over calling it years.
The guy knows how to market, though.
I've been looking forward to this movie, so coming out so I can stop seeing the stupid commercials.
One thing I do have to give it credit for, at least it didn't go for the PC title of 10,000 Years BCE. You know, the before common era
just,
stuff.
That's just a mouthful.
Oh, yeah.
The way people have tried to change
it. One extra letter's pushing it too far.
They've got woolly mammoths.
It's true.
Lots
and saber-toothed tigers. Okay, our next movie to talk about is College Road Trip.
Woo!
Yes, Martin Lawrence. You might think woo, because College Road Trip is typically associated with feelings of woo. But I think that you'll find quite the opposite when you find out what this film's all about.
Spring Break.
Martin Lawrence, the comedian who used to be so crazy but lately has been so middle-aged and pudgy, completes the sale of what little remains of his soul by going the Ice Cube route and doing a cutesy family road comedy. In this Disney, for the lack of a better word, comedy, Lawrence stars as the overprotective father who decides to drive his daughter, played by Raven Simone, the cute little girl from The Cosby Show who grew up to be not so cute and anything but little. He's driving her off to her first day at college. PG-rated hijinks ensue. That's College Road Trip.
Hey, it's got Donny Osmond.
Hey, then it's bound to be wild and crazy.
I mean, nothing is more hilarious than Martin Lawrence meets Donny Osmond.
I just think, you know, these words that make up this title have certain connotations behind them. College.
Woo!
Boobs, brews, and bad language. And road trip, pretty much the same. And what do you get instead? PG-rated Disney fare.
You're like, where's my Tom Green and my DJ Qualls, is what you're saying?
Exactly.
All right.
Okay, our next film in wide release is called The Bank Job. And Jason Statham and Safran Burrows star in this action crime drama that has all the earmarks of a Guy Ritchie movie without actually having Guy Ritchie at the helm. It's a true-life heist story about a legendary London bank robbery in 1971 where no one ever was caught or convicted due to a mysterious government cover-up called a D-Notice. That's the gag order issued by MI5 to silence anything that might embarrass the royal family. A policy they must have done away with shortly before Princess Diana claimed they bugged her brain with a microchip and Prince Charles dumped her for the most manly-looking woman in England. The Bank Job is rated R.
Let me tell you, I saw the actual Bank Job recreated on Masterminds that this is based on.
Yeah?
Based on that, I would see this movie. I mean, The Bank Job itself, I don't know about, you know, Saffron Burrows or Jason Statham or No Guy Ritchie, but setup's cool.
Well, Jason Statham is solid when he gets the chance and isn't in some cheesy C-grade movie.
Plus, the poster's
which
got...
Which is rare.
The poster for this movie's got a nice, like, old, like, you know,
old
70s
feel to it, yeah.
Throwback vibe going. I like that.
You wonder if, with that title, they're trying to trick people into thinking they're seeing another Italian Job.
Well,
you've got the Italian Job, the Bank Job, and then, you know, I think next year's Brazilian Job, which is the sequel to the Italian Job.
Don't a lot of ladies' hair places offer the Brazilian Job?
Moving on.
Okay, our final film, this one in limited release, is Lady Pettigrew Lives for a Day. And it stars Academy Award nominee.
Winner?
Oh, yes, winners and nominees. I was thinking, actually, Amy Adams
is
a nominee.
Oh, you're leading with her, even though she's not Miss Pettigrew?
Okay, yeah.
Zach always leads with Amy Adams.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she's cute as a button. Anyway, she is an aspiring actress living in London, basically on the goodwill of her many suitors, who finds it difficult to balance them all without getting dumped and finding her way out on the kicked out on the street. So, through a series of miscommunications, she hires a nanny to be her social secretary, in turn giving her a makeover and overturning her life with her high society set.
Actually, the trailer for this looks
charming.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Charming. It does look charming.
It does.
I mean, terrible title, but man, did they hit a lot of good notes in that trailer.
Well, they had some good timing with Amy Adams, you gotta admit.
Yeah, catching her right at the cusp of her stardom.
I mean, it looks like a fun period piece, I think.
Okay, well, that does it for movies opening this weekend. Stay tuned. We'll give you all the DVD releases after our next song break. Up next, we've got another in our look at the long filmography of New Line Cinema, whose history kind of comes to an end this past weekend as longtime studio head Robert Shea, who'd been the head of the company and its founder for 40 years, finally lost his job.
Yeah, they went out on a high note, semi-proud, though.
Yes, they did go out with the number one.
One last number one.
Another number one they had way back circa 1990 was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One of the first early hits, humongous hits, really, for the studio. We're going to listen to Turtle Rhapsody from TMNT.
I believe this is the movie that burned their logo into my brain.
everybody's brain. Yeah,
so here you are. We're back with our look at what's new to DVD for today, Tuesday, March 4th, 2008.
New on DVD this week, we've got Into the Wild Special Edition with Emil Hirsch and Hal Holbrook, Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium with Dustin Hoffman and Natalie Portman, Things We Lost in the Fire with Halle Berry and Benicio Del Toro, which I think that movie came out like 2 years ago, pretty much, almost. It's kind of odd. It's a new DVD release.
It was early 2007, I guess. I think they were holding out for awards season and...
Yeah, this is kind of the dumping ground for movies that were hopeful for awards. And Awake with Hayden Christensen, Jessica Alba, and Terrence Howard.
Which was just in theaters.
Yeah, I know, like a month ago or something. And the category I like to call, was that in theaters? We've only got one this week. That's The Kill Point with Donnie Wahlberg and John Leguizamo.
I can say no. It was actually a TV miniseries on Spike.
Sadly, that's the closest we've got to stars that could have been on the big screen this week. Because in the direct-to-DVD category, we've got The Hog Father, which I don't know if you've heard of, but I read up on today, and sounds really bizarre. It's a world where instead of Santa Claus, they've got The Hog Father. who brings treats.
It makes just about as much sense, I suppose.
Yep. Well, I guess, except there's an assassination plot to kill the Hogfather.
No.
Yeah.
Who would dare?
We've also got The Shepherd Border Patrol with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Sweet.
And Pistol Whipped with Steven Seagal.
Wait, you mean I have to choose?
You don't have to.
Steven Seagal in the same week?
Uh-huh.
It's a good week at the movies.
And running out the direct-to-DVD, we've got a movie called Mega Snake, which is about Mega Snake.
I'm glad to see Steven Seagal takes time from his busy touring schedule with his band to make movies.
To make Pistol Whipped.
I mean, he's all like, sorry, Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort, I'm busy making Pistol Whip.
Classic movie issue, we've got Mrs. Doubtfire Behind the Seams. That's right, Seams. Not Seams. Special edition.
God.
12 Angry Men, 50th Anniversary Special Edition, 101 Dalmatians Special Edition, and Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who Special Edition, just in time.
That seems like a really interesting coincidence that they'd put that out with that movie coming out.
I wonder if there's a
shortly.
Ticket included.
Hmm. Where's Dr. Seuss's 10,000 Happy Fingers of Dr. T? That's what I want to know.
And on TV, on DVD, we've got Magnum P.I. Season 8, The Love Boat Season 1, Volume 1, Human Giant Season 1, Ben 10 Season 3, and the Pink Panther Classic Cartoon Collection Volume 6.
Okay, well, stay tuned. We'll have another chance at tonight's screen test trivia question when we return. Up next, another series from New Line that got them quite a bit of business and scored two sequels. This one is the Blade theme by Academy Award nominee Marco Beltrami, along with remixes by Danny Saber. That was Marco Beltrami and Danny Saber with theme to Blade, as we take a look back at the long and storied history of New Line Cinema, which kind of came to a close this past weekend with the firing of its long-term founder and president, Robert Shea. He goes out on a high note, however, with Semi-Pro coming at number one. It is far from the first blockbuster for the studio, though. Its first real big movie series was, of course, the Friday the 13th, or no, Nightmare on Elm Street series. I apologize. Can't mix up my Freddy and Jason. Prompting many to call New Line the house that Freddy built. It was far from the first low-budget slasher movie that the studio financed, however. Which of the following was also a New Line release? Was it Evil Dead, Fright Night, Creepshow, or Reanimator? Stay tuned in a few minutes for you. We'll have the answer to that question. But first, Semi-Pro, as previously mentioned, came in at number one at the box office this past weekend. And we've got a review for you. Now, I don't know about you, Benjamin, but I found this movie to be kind of funny, but also incredibly odd.
It felt like me if I had to describe it as a movie that was written not for Will Ferrell. And then Will Ferrell came along and they stuck
him
in.
Will Ferrelled it up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because there's a lot of serious moments or a lot of, like, down moments where it seems more like it could have been a semi-funny, like, drama.
Yeah, more but, like a slap shot.
Well, Will Ferrell became involved and, they just wrote it up for him and stuck odd moments in there.
Yeah,
that seemed
very
out of place.
In that context reminds me of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, which was a movie that was written kind of as a straight movie, and then Jim Carrey came along and goofied it up. And that's what this feels like, definitely. Like, it was a straight movie with a basic plot line of your average sports movie, and then they came in and they added the goofiness of Will Ferrell. And I don't want to say it doesn't totally work, but it is very odd to watch.
Yeah.
The other thing that I found very odd about it, and a little bit off-putting, is the R-ratedness of the comedy. Like, you know, usually you go in for an R-rated comedy, you think the laughs are going to be bigger. I didn't really think they were. I just think that they swore more.
It seemed forced for the most part. It seemed like they wanted an R rating. And like you said, they swore more on purpose. It didn't really feel like it fit in. Like, you can have a whole lot of swearing and you can make it fit in. But this movie, it just seemed like everyone was swearing for no reason.
Having said that, there are some legitimate laughs in this movie, and they do a really great job of capturing the feel of 1976.
They do.
And they shot some of it on location here
in
Michigan.
And the ABA.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I absolutely loved the alley-oop bit.
Yes, that was very...
It is worth seeing for the alley-oop bit.
Yes. So we here on the Audio Bijou have a rating scale of 0 to 5 thumbs up. What do you give Semi-Pro?
I liked it more than I thought I would, just because I kind of go into Will Ferrell movies a little low expectation, just because I get tired of his whole overreacting shtick.
Yeah.
But that said, I thought it was fun, and I actually kind of liked the serious side a little bit, just made it more interesting. I give it a 3.
Yeah, it was also a little bit more of an ensemble than I've expected from a Will Ferrell movie. I'm also going to give it a 3. It has some legitimate laughs, and is odd enough to be interesting. So that does it for our review of Semi-Pro. Time to answer our trivia question for tonight. We asked you which of the following slasher flicks was also a New Line Cinema release long before it became known as the house that Freddy built with all their success they found with the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Was it Evil Dead, Fright Night, Creepshow, or Reanimator?
Jagan?
Ben?
Jagan?
Fright Night?
I'm going to say Reanimator.
Evil Dead was a New Line Cinema release, the original one. They failed to pick up either of the sequels, but when they were looking and looking for a distributor, they finally found it in the fledgling studio.
What?
Well, much like New Line getting acquired by Ted Turner, getting acquired by Warner Brothers, and ultimately being folded into the larger company, we have to call it a close tonight here on the Audio Bijou. You want to stay tuned? Up next is Blues Power, the best 2 hours of blues you'll hear on here in Kalamazoo. You'll want to stay tuned for that. If you miss any part of tonight's show or you want to catch more songs from the history of New Line Cinema, check out our podcast. You can find it at our website. Just Google search for Audio Bijou or go to wider.org for the links. You can also find old shows, our reviews, our trivia, and more. So check it out on the internet. Taking us out tonight, one last song. I was really kind of
Arguably the best.
It takes a lot of